Why don't you open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5 as we continue our study through Paul's letter to Ephesus. Why don't you stand? We're going to pick up at verse 8. Let's read this together this morning. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. And I just pray, Lord, that you would, that your Holy Spirit would move, Lord, that you would, and if anybody here is asleep, Lord, just in spiritual lethargy, Lord, I pray that you would open their eyes, that you would shed light on it this morning. Lord, we just thank you for your word. We thank you that you have revealed yourself in it, that you have, Lord, inspired the writing of it, that we might be illuminated, that we might, that light might shine in our own lives, Lord, that we can know you, that we can know truth. And so, Lord, speak to our hearts this morning. Lord, if anybody is walking in darkness this morning, I pray that they would see the light this morning, that they would see the truth, Lord, that you would draw them to yourselves, and that they would truly be able to see. And so we ask that you give us eyes to see and ears to hear what you have for your church, and we pray this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. Why don't you be seated? And so now, we're in chapter 5, and last week we looked at walk in love, and we know that As Paul had laid out this letter, doctrinal the first three chapters, and then practical in the last three chapters, that he began by saying that we're to walk worthy of our calling, and then we're to walk in the newness of life. We're not to walk as the Gentiles walk. We're no longer to walk in the futility of our mind, and then so we're to walk in newness of life. Last week, walk in love. And now Paul, verse 8 says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. That word darkness, it can also mean shadiness. You were not, it's not that you were once a little shady. You were very shady. And that word darkness, it talks about absence of light. Now, as we think about light, as we read this, Paul is using metaphor. He says, you're not children, and we don't, you know, when we think of light, we think of the lights in here. We think of the sun that gives light to the day. Listen, Paul isn't saying that you're children of the sun. We're not starting some weird, you know, cult here. We're reverting back to the Egyptian, you know, the mystery Egyptian religions or the mystery Babylonian religions or anything. And so he's not saying you're children of the sun. You're not children of GE or a light bulb. You know, that's not what it's talking about. He says you're light in the Lord. So walk as children of light. And the walk has the idea to habitually order your conduct, okay? And it's talking about Christian character. Remember last week he said, be imitators of God, and then, you know, what does that mean? Well, we've been given the perfect example. Christ is the example, not an example, but the example. So chapters 1-3 are what you have in Christ. Paul lists the thing you should know and understand about what it means to be a son or daughter of your heavenly Father. The inheritance that you have, your position that you have, the hope that you have. in Christ Jesus. Remember, and then chapter 1 at verse 17, he says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Thinking about light this morning, being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ Jesus when he raised him from the dead, seated him at the right hand, at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above principalities, angels, all those things. And so we've talked about this. A profession of faith is not merely proclaiming yourself to be a Christian. There's a lot of people that use it, that's simple. That's easy to say, well, I'm a Christian. You know? Well, I go to church. I'm a member of a church. I give to charities. I'm a good person. And it's not that those are bad things. It's good that you go to church and those things, but they're all things that can be done in the flesh. They're all easy things to say, but much harder to prove. A profession of faith should result in a professional faith, a walk that matures in godly character. Could someone come to the conclusion that you're a Christian by observing how you live? I remember, and I've talked about this before, around the time the Lord was calling me into leadership, before being called to be pastor, I remember as the Lord was calling me to be an elder in the church and praying through it and stuff like that, I was still doing fundraisers, and I pulled into the Novi High School parking lot, and I pulled in, right behind a car, and I had a bumper sticker. Now, you know what I think about bumper stickers? A lot of them are off a little bit. But this one hit me right between the eyes. It said, if you were on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? And it floored me. It was one of those things that God needed to open my eyes to as he was calling me in to ministry. But could somebody come to the conclusion you're a Christian by observing how you live? Your speech, your attitude, your devotion, the activities you participate in? Because if you profess to be a Christian, you can be sure of one thing: others are going to observe you to see if it's true. What does it mean to walk in the light? Very interesting. The very first thing that God spoke into existence, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting at verse 13, I urge you in the sight of God who gives life to all things, and before Christ Jesus who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep this commandment without spot, blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ appearing, in which he will manifest in his own time, he who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, dwelling in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power. Amen. So, we understand light, it manifests or reveals, and it manifests or reveals the hidden things of darkness. Daniel wrote this in chapter 2, verse 22, he reveals deep and secret things, he knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with him. In the Gospel of John, he writes, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Jesus is that light. And then in also John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world, and he who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And so as we're thinking about light and what Paul is is alluding to here, and we said it's in metaphor. But let's think about it for a minute. First, what is light physically? Light speaks of the glory of God. We know that the Hebrew and those in Judaism call it the Shekinah glory, the shining forth of God. It's alluded to in one place, and that is when Moses was on the mountain receiving the Ten Commandments from the Lord, and Moses said, Lord, I want to see your glory. And he said, Moses, nobody can look upon my glory, my shining forth, and live. So go stand there between the cleft of the rock, and as it says that he went to the cleft of the rock, and as God passed by, that Moses was able to see the afterglow, or the after Shekinah, the after glory of God. But it speaks of his glory, the shining forth. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. Therefore, we also pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. A child of the light is to walk in such a way that glorifies God. It's to live a life, and it's the same definition or the same meaning of glorifying, to honor your heavenly Father. Peter wrote in chapter 4, of his first letter, chapter 4, verse 14, if you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed, but on your part, he is glorified. So, walking in such a way that's honorable. It's one thing to call yourself a Christian. Does your life honor that label? The second, morally. Morally, the light speaks of the holiness of God. In James chapter 1, verse 17, James wrote this, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. And the holiness of God speaks of perfection, purity, righteousness. He is unchanging. And we know that the scriptures say God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. And we've already seen this concerning our walk and our calling, that the Lord said, be holy, for I am holy. It is the virtue of a born-again believer of being perfected and remaining pure from the works of darkness and being clothed in the righteousness of Christ. It is the light of Christ. And we talk about sanctification. You know, speaks of the glory of God, and it talks about the glorification. We're being, right? We're glorified. We're being glorified. We will once be glorified. These works of the Lord in the life of a believer. And here we see that sanctifying work of Christ in the life of a believer. During that whole Rona debacle, you know, the Rona. Actually, I guess we're still kind of in it. You know, it was kind of interesting because as they're trying to figure out how do we attack this thing, and probably a lot of us learned at that time that they had been researching how UV light kills viruses. Isn't that interesting? So light reveals and manifests, but it also has cleansing characteristics, especially of those things that, you know, that I would put it this way, those things that have entered in because of sin, those things that are not perfect in God's creation, that sin has messed up. And those things that we do in secret are exposed in the light of Christ. and what is not pleasing to the Lord, the hidden things that we should not be doing, we can bring them to the Lord. We can bring them to the light, and they'll be cleansed. That's the promise. In Isaiah 1:18, we know that the Lord has said, "Come now, let us reason together," says the Lord. "Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool." And if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It is the moral aspect of light that God has burst into the scene. And we know we're going to look at, obviously, what John had to say about Christ, the Word of God. But Acts chapter 26, verse 17, Paul wrote this about what the Lord had told him. It says, "I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles, to whom I now send you, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me." More, the work of the light, cleansing and sanctifying the believer. Intellectually, third, and intellectually, light speaks of the knowledge of God. And in talking about God and He being light, He's all-knowing, He's omniscient. But to walk as a child of the light is to know the Lord of light. The importance of Bible study, what we're doing here this morning, is for us not just to know about Him, not just to know more about what the Bible says. It's to know Him. I don't want you to leave this morning with just head knowledge. And if you're taking notes, I hope it's notes so that you can go and you can sit and you can meditate on those things and mull it over and be like Bereans to see if what I'm saying is true. That you might be changed but why what you have read and what you've heard. You can know and memorize the whole Bible and still be in the dark. The Word of God is God's light shining into the darkness of this lost world. And it was His Word that shined into the darkness of all of us who have been born again of the Holy Spirit of God. And God has revealed, He has brought to light who He is, and He has also brought to light who you are. Man's predicament and God's solution to that predicament. And we know John chapter 1 speaks to this very thing. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God," that is Jesus Christ. "All things were made through Him," He's Creator, "and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him," in Christ, "was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in darkness, and darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John, John the Baptist. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light," John the Baptist was not that light, "but was sent to bear witness of that light," of Jesus Christ. "That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into this world. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, and the world did not know Him. He came to His own, and His own did not receive Him. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And He came, and He was the light of life." What did Jesus say in John chapter 14, verse 6? "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Nobody comes to the Father but through me." He came to reveal that truth, that salvation you know, and the way out of this hopeless predicament of mankind comes only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. And we need to understand the way, and Scripture says, the wages of sin is death. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So God sent His only Son to resolve the problem that we find, each and every one of us have found ourselves in, or maybe even find ourselves in this morning. And if you find yourself in that predicament this morning, please hear what the Word of God says. Separated from God, spiritually dead and in darkness, that we might know that God loves us and has made a way to be reconciled to Him and made spiritually alive by Christ's selfless sacrifice. He was manifest, listen, for our justification. The light speaks of our glorification, it speaks of our sanctification, it speaks of our justification. Necessary for each and every one of us. Fourthly, spiritually, like light speaks of illumination. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 16 and 17, it says, "The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And upon those who sat in the region, a shadow of death, light has dawned." And Jesus is quoting actually Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. "From that time, Jesus began to preach and say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" And expressed, I think, beautifully by the song that we sing, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, who saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see." When we talk spiritually about light, it has, you know, and Jesus said, He goes, "I'm going to come and give sight to the blind." And He's given sight to you and sight to me because light has entered into our lives. You only came to understand the truth of God's Word by one thing, and that is by illumination. The Bible is God revealed to us. It is revealed by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and it is His Spirit that opens one's eyes to see the light. That is illumination. That is the truth. Nobody can come to salvation or the understanding of the truth except by God's revealed truth and that was inspired by the Holy Spirit and has been illuminated, has been shined into our lives. When Jesus asked the guy, "Hey, look, who do the people say that I am? Hey, some say you're Elijah, some say you're a great prophet, you know, all these other things." And Jesus looks at Peter and said, "But who do you say that I am, Peter?" He says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And He goes, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for you, God, the Father has revealed that to you." It's the same thing that happens to us. And so He says in verse 9, "For the fruit of the Spirit," it's very interesting, if you have the New King James Version, there's an asterisk that will lead you. Some of the manuscripts say Christ, some of the manuscripts say "for the fruit of the light." Now we know that they're interchangeable because of what John says, Christ is light, and He's the one that says, "I am the light of the world." But it says here, "For the fruit of the Spirit," or "the fruit of light, is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord." Goodness, righteousness, and truth. A child of the light exhibits the character of the Father. That's what it means to walk. When we talked about walking in love, there's only one way to do that, and that is as we mimic, right, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The fruit or virtues of a Christian walk are these things. And we know that in Galatians, Paul gives a little bit longer list of those things that are the fruit of the Spirit. But here it's talking about those things that shine through. You know, when somebody's observing us, do they see goodness, righteousness, and truth? Do we walk according to those things? Do they govern our character? in our Christian walk. And we can know what is acceptable to the Lord. Do you know what's acceptable to the Lord? We can know what's acceptable to the Lord because the Word of God brings light on the things that are not acceptable to the Lord. And we know that Paul's already, in this letter, has given us a couple of short lists. Fornication, covetousness, uncleanness, filthiness, foolish talking, coarse jesting. We know that in Galatians and many other places, the list is even longer. But we can know what is, you know, that what is acceptable to him by understanding and reading the Word of God, right, and growing in our knowledge of those things as God sheds light into our lives, and we recognize and there it says right there, you know, God isn't too happy about me doing this or watching that, hanging out here, speaking this way, whatever it is. Because walking in the light is walking and living a life that is acceptable to the Lord. And we've already seen that honors our Heavenly Father. You know, and the truth of the matter is, I wanted to make my father proud. And I think most of us that had good fathers, and listen, God is a great father. Amen. And for those that have missed out maybe on having a father or one, you know, that you could say, man, I really respected and I really loved and honored my father. I did, you know, even though I messed up and I did dumb things, bill things, you know, but I still wanted my father to be proud of me. And it's the same idea, living our lives that our Heavenly Father would be proud of, that honor him, right? And so verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. That word unfruitful is empty and fruitless, worthless. That it's, and we know it's koinonia, that fellowship, but here it's sung koinonio. It's sung koinonio. Share in company with, co-participate in, communicate with, or be partakers of. He said you're not to be partakers in any of those things. And that talks to those things that we do in secret. Why? Because it's fruitless and it's empty. It's not acceptable to the Lord. Matthew chapter 13, verses 22 and 23. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word and the cares of this world, the unfruitful works, the things that are worthless, and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word. They creep back in, and he becomes unfruitful. Don't be dabbling or playing around with those things that God has delivered you out of or brought you from. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some a hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. Who hears it and understands it. Who, you know, who's the light has shined in to the lives. The same idea Paul gives when he writes this in 2 Corinthians 6:14, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And certainly that speaks to young ladies and young men, if you're listening. That speaks to who you, certainly it might be dating or looking to get married to. I've seen the shipwreck of missionary dating, you know, this, I'm going to date them and I'm going to, you know, I'm going to lead them to the Lord and they're going to hear the truth and then we'll be equally yoked. Do not be unequally yoked. And the idea behind the use of a yoke was to take an untrained, maybe stubborn or obstinate animal that, you know, like the ox. They would often take oxes and they would yoke it to a mature, trained, obedient animal. And that mature animal was to be the example of proper behavior and proper production and those different things. And so after spending time with the more mature animal, the obstinate, immature animal would really, you know, basically come into line. And Paul's saying, don't be dragged into the fruitless activities of darkness. Rather, guide those who are in darkness to the light of life. You know, in understanding this, I mean, you know, even Paul's warning to the church at Corinth doesn't mean that we don't have relationships or we don't talk to or spend time with people who are in darkness. But we don't participate in the darkness. And so he says, verse 12, for it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. Don't get caught up in things you would be ashamed of to do with Jesus Christ. Are you the same person in public that you are in private? I think this is something that we, and one of the things that the Bible says is examine yourself. I think that's something that we need and should do constantly and consistently. And here's the truth. When you open the Word of God, that examination is going to happen. That's why it's all, it, you know, hey, look, I'm not one to get in legalism. You're not getting up at 6 a.m. It's not that. But to daily spend time in His Word is going to cause self-examination. The Word of God is going to point out those things in your life and in my life that are not acceptable or not pleasing to the Lord. But what do we tend to do? We'll push it, huh? I know what's going to happen if I do my reading this morning, right? I'm going to have to get rid of one of those shiny things that I really want to hold on to. And that's true. And it's simple, right? You're opening the light. It's going to expose whatever is dark, whatever isn't, you know, honorable and glorifying to God that's going on in your lives. It will do that. It'll do it every time. But it'll also, right, it'll also encourage us as we're walking in the light that, you know, that we're okay, that God's okay with us. God loves us. You all need to understand there is nothing you can do once you're His child to make Him want to kick you out or ignore you. But He does want to speak to you through His Word and through His Spirit to draw you back in, to lay those things down, because He wants to walk, He wants His children to walk in the light, to walk in sanctification. Don't be dragged back into those things. Don't get caught up in the things that you would be ashamed to do with the Lord. One commentator, I express it this way. Could you sell your parrot to the community gossip and not be worried? He watches dirty movies. He watches dirty movies. She uses filthy language. She uses filthy language. Kind of puts it in perspective, doesn't it? And so, he says, but all things are exposed, all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Everything, listen, everything is going to come to light. Don't kid yourself and that we don't, well, I just don't want to think about that. But every time we come to write these things, these parts of Scripture and what God has to say about, we need to stop. We need to address it. You can't pass over this. At least I couldn't. And I got, there are things exposed in my, I let creep back in. Lord, I know. And He's going to do the same thing for his church. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 through 13. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. Everything, Christian, you do are going to be brought before the judgment seat of God. I have to stand, but oh yeah. There's the Bema seat of Christ when our works, those things that we have done, they're going to be judged for whether we've done them selfishly, if we've done them in the light, if we've done them as we walk in the newness of life, as we walk worthy to our calling and walk in love. Those things are precious because they're done selflessly and in the name of Christ. But those things that we still do that are worthless, those are going to get burned up. And that's okay. But we're all going to stand and make an account for those things. Notice the warning Paul gives to the danger also of falling asleep in your walk. Putting one's profession on cruise control. Remember this, to walk is a habitual order of one's conduct. It is to be constantly and consistently being exercised. The danger of sleepwalking is the tendency to drift and to bump into things that can hurt, right? That can cause problems. When you think about it, we can do a lot of damage while we're asleep. Some people sleepwalk. Any sleepwalkers in here? It's okay. Bring it in the light. It's not a big deal. Sleep talkers. Yeah, there, see? I mean, you know, our mind can still be going while we're asleep. It's hard to sleep in light, though, isn't it? What are the exhortations to the church, to those who are in Christ Jesus, children? Be diligent, be sober, be alert, be watching. We shouldn't be sleeping in our walk with Christ. I'm going to leave with this. Peter wrote this in his first letter, chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. That word, peculiar. Some of you are very peculiar. Some very special. That you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they observe glorify God in the day of visitation. Walk in the light. Walk in the light. And here's the thing. Look, and I'm not talking about, I don't want anybody getting up and, listen, this is between you and the Lord. We're going to see next week, it can only be done as we walk in the Spirit, in the fullness of the Spirit. We're going to look at the fullness of the Spirit next week. But you can bring, the beauty of this is, you know, God's tender mercies, that we can go before him and say, Lord, whatever it may be, will you bring it to light? If there's anything in, what did David write? Search my heart, Lord, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. And he was talking about being brought into the light, because much of his life, some of the big failures were brought to light. They were even recorded as he slept with Bathsheba. Listen, if there's anything in your life that needs to be brought to life, that you're holding on to that you need to know, take it before Him now. Because the light of God is doing that glory, you know, that sanctifying work in the life of the believer. And listen, the beautiful thing is He wants to forgive and cleanse. Heavenly Father, I pray that, Lord, if there's anybody here who has not opened their heart and their eyes to the light of the truth of Your word, Lord, and Your Son, Jesus Christ, that they would do that this morning, recognizing, Lord, that they have been separate from You because of the life that they're living. But that, Lord, Your desire is that You would come, or that they would come to You, that their sins can be forgiven, that they can be made white as snow. And that, Lord, You will make a home in their lives. That Your Holy Spirit will indwell them, Lord. And that, Lord, they can walk in the light of Your love and of Your word. And Lord, if they would pray that this morning, Lord, that You would hear their hearts. And it's not about the experience or the excitement, which it is exciting, Lord, but of the profession that they've prayed, but the evidence of Your truth in their life and in our lives, Lord. We just thank You and we praise You for Your word, Lord. And Lord, I pray that my brothers and sisters and myself, that we would live lives that are glorify You, Lord, that are honorable before You. And we pray this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.